What?
Now it's time for sports with William C. Roden. He's a sports columnist for the New York Times and author of A Third and a Mile, The Trials and Triumphs of the Black Quarterback. He spoke with NPR's Tony Cox.
So, Bill, I have a question for you.
You always have a question.
Have you ever had a job that you left and you went back and worked at that same place again?
No. I tend to be, once I'm gone, I'm gone.
here's why I raised that, the issue of going back home. We have Roger Clemens returning to the New York Yankees amid controversy over his contract perks. We had Don Nelson returning to the Golden State Warriors, turning them into the hottest ticket in the NBA playoffs right now. And we also had Chris Webber, who never played for the Detroit Pistons, but is from Detroit, went back home and is helping them look pretty strong as they head toward a playoff championship possibility. What about going back home? It doesn't happen that often, but how well does it tend to work out for everybody involved?
That's a great question, Tony. I think going back home is really hard. You look at Webber, born in Detroit, coming back home. Just the other day he was talking about it. I talked to him at the place, and he was talking about just how hard it is, the pressure that you come back. You're coming back, and he's coming back as a star. And in his case, he's also coming back under this cloud because of what happened at the University of Michigan. So I think there's pressure on him to win, to do well in front of the home people and do things for the community and somehow help Detroit win a championship, another championship, and maybe erase that cloud in Ann Arbor. And then you talk about Clemens. Now, if I had the sweet deal to Clemens, I'd go home too.
Man, what a deal he
got. Oh, my goodness. So, Roger, you can basically come here, but we're going to pay you a lot of money, but you don't really have to play. You don't have to travel with the team. You don't have to. When you're not pitching, you don't have to be with the team. All we want you to do is show up and pitch. And I'm just waiting to find out, after he gets shelled a few times, when the bloom off that rose is going to start to fade.
So are the mighty Yankees that desperate that they would just do anything to get Roger Clemens back?
As Dwayne Thomas said, apparently. I think that is also vaudeville, because they need to make a buzz, they need to make a thing. But what's interesting, Tony, though, with all the steroids going out, here's a guy who conveniently missed a portion of the season where he might have to undergo testing, and just kind of slides back in here, 45 years old. Now, where everybody's jumping on Bonds, that has not been the big thing about Clemens. How can you be 45 years old? Now, maybe he's taking the same.
Well, he's only working part-time now, right?
That's what the apologists will say. Well, come on, Bill. You know, he's only working. He doesn't have to pitch every day. But I think that's going to be, as these names and the Mitchell investigation begin to intensify, I think it's a legitimate question to ask about Clemens, not to sort of start glorifying it, but asking the question, what are the roots of your performance enhancement?
Well, obviously, any question about steroids is going to lead us to to Barry Bonds, which we're going to do. But before we get to Bonds and his issue and the homers that he's been hitting, I want to talk about one other person, and that's Don Nelson. Actually, the Golden State Warriors, the hottest ticket in the NBA right now. Don Nelson coming back. They're down two, but the hearts of NBA fans seem to be with them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's a good homecoming as well. Nelson, I think the last time that Golden State was in the playoffs, Nelson was a coach. And he has an exciting sort of David versus Goliath type play, really wide open. You know, back when he was with him in 93, 94, it was Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin. I think they call it Run DMC or something.
Yeah, Run TMC.
Run TMC, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Those guys were great.
Man, it's so much fun.
You know, one of the things about Golden State, in terms of watching them, like you say, they are exciting. But in the game that they played, game two against the Utah Jazz, very dramatic, and it was reminiscent of Willis Reed coming back to help the Knicks 30 years ago when Derek Fisher, a former player for the Golden State Warriors, came into the game in a very dramatic fashion. Here's a guy, I wanted to make mention of this, here's a guy who is one of the good guys. We hear so much about all the bad guys, but talk about Derek Fisher and what he means.
Yeah, Tony, you're absolutely right. And I think that there's so many good guys in these NFL and NBA teams, and Fisher could be the president of that club. You know, here's a guy who spent, I think he spent Wednesday in New York with his one-year-old daughter who was undergoing an emergency cancer surgery. They just diagnosed something. He was with her. He and his wife were with her. And then he flew back to Utah just in time. I think he even missed a little bit of the first quarter.
But yes,
came
he did.
In, just didn't even warm up, went in and was ready and ended up putting the dagger in the back. But the guy was, so even after the game, he talked about what happened and why he's talking about it, because he was telling people that if you have a kid, bring him to the ophthalmologist. Make sure that they get checked up. To me, this is sports at its best, when you've got these high-profile people using their visibility to do good things, to tell people, hey, listen, don't forget to get your kids checked out. This is, you know, we just had this game, but this is the overriding thing. This is my job. I came. It was really, you know.
It was a heartwarming kind of
really,
thing.
It really was.
Absolutely.
It really was.
Now, on the flip side of that, you know, the talk, the arguing over Barry Bonds' home run is heating up every time he hits another one. He's at 745 and counting. What I don't understand is how can Barry Selig, the commissioner of baseball, waffle over whether or not he is going to even attend when Barry hits 755 or 756, which, by the way, could come either in Milwaukee or Atlanta. How can he do that as a commissioner?
Yeah, but see, you said Barry Selig.
Did I say Barry Selig?
Yeah, but I think they become so joined at the hip.
You could be
calling him Barry Selig.
How can he do that, though?
Yeah, he can't. He can't. I think it'd be an ultimate show of weakness. And I think his weakness in some way, and this is, I mean, I respect Bud and I like him. You know, he always returns my calls. But I think when you are the commissioner of a league, You're for the betterment of the game. The game is bigger than everybody, you know, and that's what matters, the legacy of the game. It doesn't matter how you feel and this and that. The fact is that you have not torn the uniform off this guy. Now, if he's that stained and that bad, then you have to tear the uniform off him, saying, yeah, I can't let you play. But as long as he's got the uniform on, you haven't torn the uniform off of him, and he's getting ready to break arguably the most prestigious team sports record in North America, you as a commissioner have got to be there. And guess what? I think Hank Aaron should be there as well. That's more of a debatable issue, but I definitely think
that
the commissioner of the sport should be there.
Well, talk about going home again. Should they wait and let him do it, meaning the Giants, at home in San Francisco?
No, I mean, well, if they could, you know,
if they could orchestrate
that, we're going into Pete Rose territory.
Well, but, you know, if he gets to 754, they could sit him until he got home.
You know what? I would just let him hit. I would just let him hit it. Let him get his booze, whatever. And then when he comes to back home, you know, again, I would honor him. I'd give him the standing ovations and the parades and all that. Either way, but I would not manufacture this. I just let him hit, because who's to say that you sit on and then we're waiting for another month for him to hit one home run.
Well, that may be true, but you know, if he doesn't hit it in San Francisco, that wherever he hits it, people are going to be booing. The only place where he's going to get any love when he hits 754 and 755 and 756 is at home, don't you think?
But Tony, here's the hypocrisy of that.
All right, what?
He may get booed, but the only people going to be cheering are the people who will be scrambling after that ball.
Well, I guess you got a point there.
And not giving it back, by the way.
All right, before I let you get out of here, one more thing. It's a week old, the Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight. And everybody has an opinion about this, and I know, Bill Roden, that you have one too. Will there be, or no, should there be a rematch between Oscar and Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
No, let's move on.
I mean, they made tons of money. You don't think they could make another ton?
Well, they can, but I just think that we've seen the best out of De La Hoya. I think the sequel, I don't think he wants to train that hard again. I don't think it will be as competitive the second time around.
Really?
As it was this time. De La Hoya is moving in reverse. I don't think it's going to get, I don't think he's
except gonna for when it comes to going to the bank. He's going to the bank in high gear, isn't he?
Big bank.
Bill, yeah,
you're right. So maybe he will do it just for the money, but that's a lot of training to go through.
Bill, it's always good.
Always a pleasure. The great Tony Cox.
That was William C. Roden speaking with NPR's Tony Cox. Roden is a sports columnist for the New York Times and author of A Third and a Mile, The Trials and Triumphs of the Black Quarterback, and he joined us from NPR's New York City studios.